and welcome to Varium Music, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and I am convinced that my shirt is too loud. I think my shirt is too loud. I just slipped it off. I'm wearing other clothes. Calm down. I just slipped it off while I was recording this because if you remember the video I posted of my Dollywood haul, also calling it a haul when most things I bought were secondhand, is very funny. My Dollywood haul, and I did that cut, that like stitch video, whatever you call it. Not stitch like Lilo and Stitch, but stitch like putting footage together of me being like, I bought this big shirt and I love it. I'm wearing that big shirt the same way I said in that Dollywood video I was going to, over bike shorts and a sports bra, over athletic gear. And yeah, my athletic gear is from when I was 8 months pregnant. That's fine. It somehow still fits. Elastic really can blow someone's mind because I had a 9-pound baby and these shorts fit and they still fit and aren't baggy. How does that work? Fabrics are wild. Anyway, that shirt, I love it, but I think it's a little too loud for recording. And we can't have that interrupting what is a very momentous day because at the time that you are hearing this, now keep in mind, I recorded this in advance. I am currently in Walt Disney World. At the time that you are listening to this, it is possible that I have been on a Muppets coaster. There is before Muppets coaster and there is after Muppets coaster. And this may be coming to you through your headphones, through your car speakers, through your phone that you play loudly that maybe someone you live with is like, oh, get this woman to shut up. Wherever you're listening to this, it is possible that you are, this is the maybe one of the last few recordings of someone BC before coaster. I am truly so excited. It's going to be a wild week. I'm bringing Pearl on a work trip. You're going to hear all about it next week. But really, I cannot wait to see what I think about the Muppets coaster. Will I like it? Will it hurt my neck and I'll complain about it? I don't know. But stay tuned and follow me on social media if you don't already. If you listen to this podcast and you don't follow me on Instagram, I feel like you're missing a big piece of the puzzle. But I'm going to post as much as I can live, and then I'm going to come back next week and tell you everything. Now, this week we have a gab sesh. Again, I recorded this before I left, but we had plenty to talk about. I left a running tally of all the things I wanted to discuss all month long. So I have so many little tidbits we're going to get into. I hope you are having a great month. I hope all is well. I can't believe Memorial Day is in a few days. That's wild. I know I say that on every podcast. I'm just like, I can't believe it's this month, but I can't believe it this month. Stick around. We have so much to talk about, so I'm not gonna blow it at the beginning. Stay tuned, and we're gonna chit-chat. I can't wait to chit-chat in my last BC podcast. Welcome home. Are you a little sad to be off the Disney Adventure? Because it looked amazing.
I was back to back, and it's the first time I ever thought I needed to do back to back to back and possibly to back.
Wait, you did two of them?
We did. We did a 3-day and then the 4-day because, again, Adventure, huge ship, absolutely amazing, tons of stuff to do on board, all the characters and the shopping and just how big it is and the shows. Oh my gosh. I think I actually experienced the best dinner show I have ever seen on Disney Cruise Line, Hollywood Spotlight. It's set up like old 30s, 40s glam inside.
No!
And they have musicians, and then the characters come in. And then they go to tables.
So multiple characters?
Multiple characters.
Wow. Well, I'm so glad that you made it back and that you are at least awake enough to tell us about these major discounts, because I saw the news before we talked, and I couldn't wait to talk to you. Tell us everything about these Disney Cruise Line discounts.
Yeah, do you remember the last discount that came out? And I said, they've never done this before, and it's one of the best deals ever. Now we have kids sale 50% off the voyage fare. If you book by June 14th, so it's you got some time here, you get 50% off the voyage fare for up to 3 kids, ages, you know, because normally it's you know, 3 to 9. This is up to age 17 on select sailings with the purchase of 2 full fare guests in the same cabin. So if you have 2 adults that are paying full fare, you get up to 3 kids at 50% off. And that's available on select sailings and ships from October 1st, 26 to March 27th, 2027. I've seen them available on every ship except for the Adventure. There's not a better time to sail with DCL, especially because they are still running. All right, for those of us who don't have kids, they're still running that 25% off voyage fare for select sailings between April 2026 now and July. But you get that 25 or 20% off and up to 250 onboard credit at the same time. So if you've ever wanted to do a Disney cruise, now's the time to do it. And there's also, outside of these offers, you can find really great savings on sailings from San Diego and even Alaska. So if you were ever interested in doing Alaska and it's not part of these offers, they are still lower than they've ever been before.
Wow. Wow. And remember, crazy. Reaching out to Mousefan Travel is the best way to book this, because I say that as somebody who books cruises with Mousefan Travel, because parsing through these on your own is so annoying. You do not want to do it. Trust me. And so to have a professional who can really tell you which deal is best for you and how to save the most money is so helpful, and it costs you nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. Thank you so much, Becky. I can't wait to hear what other deals you have later on in the show. Hello and welcome back. I'm going to let you know up top that I'm so paranoid about making background noise in this episode right now. I don't know why I'm hyper-focused on it, but basically, welcome to Gab Sesh. We're just getting right into it. I have a ton of stuff I want to talk to you about, but first thing, if you hear like this, those are my bracelets. If you hear this, that's that gigantic polo shirt that I bought that I can't stop talking about because it was like $8 and it's so soft and it's lovely. And then if you hear this, I don't know if that'll come through in the edit. That is me standing on my walking pad because it took me so long to drag this thing out from under my bed to bring it back in my office that I'm like, if I nudge it at all away from my standing desk, I will never walk on it again. And my steps have been so low that like my limbs are sore. My limbs are like sore from sitting, which is not like, I need to move around to like get the juices flowing. I gotta be moving. My brain needs it more than my body. Honestly, my brain needs it. And so if I move this walking pad, I will never step foot on it again. So we are glued. So if you hear any of this, you hear any of that? That's just me trying to function with severe ADHD as an adult who has no boss and is her own boss and probably could use some structure. Anyway, hello and welcome to Gab Sesh. It is really fun that we do these every month because there's always new stuff we have to discuss. And this month, I made an outline that was a bunch of non-Disney stuff. But in preparation for the trip, I realized there's so much going on at Disney World that it's just kind of getting like lost in the shuffle. Again, I do this professionally. I'm professionally talking about theme parks. And I had to do research to be like, wait, what? Like, wait, what is opening? I had to fact check stuff with PR. I was a little confused on what is opening. And I figure if I'm confused about what is opening and happening this summer at Disney World, other people are definitely going to be confused. I am there right now as you are listening to this, and I know it's going to be chaos. I am sharing a room with my mom and my toddler, which means that I can't stay up until 2 a.m. making little videos. I'm nervous about it, you guys. I'm bringing her on a work trip, and I've brought her on work trips. Like, I brought her on the Alaskan cruise, but that wasn't really, like, newsworthy. That was more an experience that I came back and reported about. And I've taken her on, yeah, I took her on the Disney Magic, but that also was something I came back and reported about. I haven't really been with her at Disney World for a work event ever. And the only time that she was ever with me at a work event at Disney was when my vacation, this is like my first postpartum vacation with Pearl when she was 9 months old, happened to coincide with a local media event. And they were like, oh, come join us for fireworks. And I brought her, and she was a baby. So she, you know, she started crying and she was upset, and so we left. So my track record is zero. And I am hoping that I'm able to at least keep you posted while I'm there. If not, we will recover it all next week. But for now, I just want to get ahead of it a bit because I know it's going to be a chaotic week, and I want to make sure that I'm giving you all of the info so that you know what is happening when everyone in your feed is at Disney World bopping between all of these half dozen experiences. So let's get into it. Starting with Soarin' Across America. This is one of those things that just appeared like a blip, and I'm like, yeah, one day it'll be Soarin' Across America. That's happening now. That's happening July 2nd at Disneyland, but May 26th at Walt Disney World. And I didn't realize this was a full-fledged shoot. Like, they're going to have more than a dozen locations. I don't know what this is going to be. I cannot wait to find out because I was looking around, and it seems like there's almost no gossip about what the locations are going to be. And I completely forgot that we were getting a brand new Soarin'. There's no information out about this. I cannot wait to hopefully tell you firsthand, but if not, we will all find out very soon. And I don't know, something new at Soarin' is always exciting. What if there's new scents? A new scent? Ooh, that would be great. I love that it's Disneyland and Disney World, so we get to take part in it over at Disneyland. They're doing it for the July 4th weekend, which I think is very cute. And I'm excited about it. But the headline, of course, of the entire trip is Rock and Roller Coaster starring the Muppets. I just think it's so wild that in our lifetime, we are now going to experience a Muppets coaster. And think about it. Like, the Muppets right now are not the favored property at the Walt Disney Company and haven't been in a minute. They just did the Muppet Show, which was a one-off. At the time of recording this, which was right around the Disney upfronts, so I might be speaking it into existence, we have not heard of a full season renewal or full season episode order for the Muppet Show. Like, we've gotten no news about it. And yet they're about to open a ride themed to these characters. And if the company is investing in them in a big way, permanently in the theme park, giving them a ride, like, rides don't change over that often. I feel like no matter what happens, we're going to have a Muppets coaster for minimum 15, 20 years. It is wild to me that, like, you know, like, we gotta talk about, like, they didn't renew Muppets Mayhem. Like, the show that's kind of based on the band that the ride's about, they didn't renew it. I know I'm talking out of the side of my mouth, but, like, it's not a secret. It's a fact. There's no new episodes because they didn't renew it. They didn't give it a new season. And Muppets have been a franchise that all of us love so much, but they've really struggled to gain their footing in television programming in the past 5-10 years. And it's so wild to me that, like, there is a chance that a few months from now, maybe a year from now, the Muppets could have a thriving television show and a beloved, like, widely, frequently visited thrill ride in a theme park. And it's so funny to be like, wait, like they closed Muppets Courtyard partially because Muppet Vision 3D, obviously, like, no one, well, no, I can't say no one, because a guest we're going to have on the podcast in a few weeks literally did buy a ticket for Hollywood Studios to go to Muppet Vision 3D. But people, generally speaking, weren't, like, the driving factor to get on a plane and fly to Hollywood Studios, which now, as I say that, I have done to go to Muppets Prom and Pizza Rizzo. I am not a good case study for this, all right? But what I'm saying, in general, if you ignore me and the people that I call my close company, if you ignore all of that, the vast majority of the public are not flying to Disney World for Muppets Courtyard. It's just a thing that's there. But now, this is the new thrill ride that they're heralding. And it's just so wild to wrap my head around the fact, again, that this could be the Muppets resurgence. This, plus if they have a show on that people love, like, we did it. Like, our dreams are so close to coming true. And that is so exciting that it's all happening for our Muppets-obsessed community. It's really, really nice. But before we get deep into if my low blood pressure ravaged body will survive the rickety upside downs of this Aerosmith predecessor, I am nervous about it. I'm going to be drinking a lot of liquid IV and I'm just going to make it work. I want to quickly recap what the storyline of the new Rock and Roller Coaster actually is, because I feel like we're getting a lot of, like, excitement, exclamation points, and animal videos and big shiny fruit stripe gum guitar, but we're not really getting enough detail about what the actual plot line is here. I read the Disney Parks blog post about it, and it is quite confusing. So I tried to break it down from their language into a more straightforward way. What's happening on Rock and Roller Coaster starring the Muppets is that the Electric Mayhem is headlining a sold-out concert in Hollywood, but the band is nowhere to be found. Your VIP tour kicks off inside G-Force Records, which has recently come under new management by Scooter's uncle, real estate tycoon, and owner of the Muppet Theater, J.P. Gross. With your VIP passes, I love that they retained a lot of the Rock and Roller Coaster lore. With your VIP passes, you'll be welcomed inside the recording studio where the Electric Mayhem are cranking out familiar tunes of Can You Picture That? Now, a Disney fan would raise a little paddle like they're at an auction and probably say, why isn't that song on the coaster? And I'm going to say, that's above my pay grade. Scooter and Muppety Penguins are working as engineers. Those are animatronics. So we have those. I mean, I would love an animatronic Kermit, but it doesn't look like it's happening. They're going to do their best to convince the Electric Mayhem to stop jamming and get to the show. But will it be enough to get them there on time? Thanks to the newest technological advancements from Muppet Labs, you'll board a lengthy immediate motion object, a limo, waka waka, and you will head your way to the show. At this point in time, you all might know by now, I currently do not know, like, are we going to see Kermit? Are we going to see Fozzie? I need my friends. I hope I see them. But, like, regardless, I'm just so blissfully shocked that we're getting this and so happy about it. I'm so happy about it. I mean, I haven't been on it yet. At this time, like at the time that I'm recording this, but it just is not, I did not think that we would, like, a light would like a light switch would flip and we'd all of a sudden be like, Muppets are mainstream again. And it's happening. It's happening. The Muppets have Sabrina Carpenter. And they're going to have a Phyllis Ryan. And it's just really exciting. It's just really exciting. I'm really happy about it. And I hope it's going to be great. And I just like really, we all need to band together and just take a moment to realize that they got rid of Aerosmith and brought in the Muppets. Do you remember when there was that rumor that it was going to be Taylor Swift? I thought it was, of course, going to be Jonas Brothers. I was like, they're going to partner with Jonas Brothers or another like Disney-centric, super popular global band. They're going to do the coaster together. Like, it's going to be just like Aerosmith with a different act. But no, we got the Muppets. And I'm halfway convinced, maybe I'm chronically online too much, but I am pretty convinced that we made so much freaking noise on the internet that someone like looked at the numbers and went beep, 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 boop, and was like, oh, we have to give them something. And that's how we got it. Like, I am convinced in my heart of hearts that we got Rock and Roller Coaster to be appeased because we all lost our minds when they got rid of Muppets Courtyard. And guess what? I'm appeased. Even if the ride, let's say the ride doesn't work. Let's say you like just go boop. It's like a train. You don't even go upside down. There's no coaster anymore. Even if there's no ride, we now have a full Muppets gift shop open once again at Disney World. I'm so excited. And I don't know. So when you're listening to this, is the first big day of the event. I'm recording this a few days before. I still don't have an itinerary. So I don't really know what exactly I'm doing when. So I don't know if you've already saw this, if I already posted it, but if I haven't, I may be breaking news here. I apparently, supposedly, am going to be interviewing the Electric Mayhem in person. I know. And I've had Muppets on the podcast twice, but I've never met a Muppet in person. I've seen the Electric Mayhem perform when I went to the premiere of Muppets Mayhem, but like I've never spoken to a Muppet. Like this is very huge for me. I'm trying to downplay it. I will be sweating through my clothes. You will see video footage of it. Like just huge circles under my arms because my body will not be able to process it. Like I'm very physically ill thinking about how overwhelming it's going to be. At least like if it was like Kermit and Miss Piggy together, which I know some people recently experienced, I think I would probably have to go to that Disney themed wing of the nearby hospital. Like the, you know, they have like the Disney ER in Disney World, like at Advent Health or whatever. Like I would be straight shot there, but it is Electric Mayhem. I have spoken to them before. I've already interviewed them. So this is a little bit like, I feel broken in. I feel good. And if you have not seen that yet, it means it is coming and I cannot wait. I just hope it all goes well. I hope the ride is good. I hope the songs are good. I hope the merch is good. And I just can't believe that in 2026, I am currently at a Muppets-centric Disney World event. Wild, guys. Absolutely wild. Now, to change gears to a different fandom, Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run, as we know it, is going to change forever. On May 22nd on both coasts, which as you know is this Friday, we are going to get Mandalorian and Grogu inside the attraction. And the description on like the website of the ride is so funny because it's low-key like corporate speak for, we've heard your complaints. We're listening and learning, and we're going to change it for good. It says something like, for the first time ever, the crew will be in control of their own destination. But this is my favorite part. A new gameplay addition allows the engineer positions to communicate with Grogu during the mission, which is fully them being like, we've heard you. We're listening. Engineer is the worst position on this vehicle. We understand. But don't worry. We have a special little treat for you if you're stuck in the back while children are piloting this. Will that make it enough to make engineer a worthy position? I do not know. But either way, I am very excited about these changes that have been happening at Galaxy's Edge, which I don't even think we've discussed beyond Todd being on the podcast. But just to catch everyone up to speed, in the Star Wars-themed Galaxy's Edge land at Disneyland, and remember, this land is at Disneyland and Disney World, but the one at Disneyland, they have started to embrace the original Star Wars trilogy characters and plot lines, which means that Darth Vader replaces Kylo Ren around the park, not inside the attraction, just inside the park. We've got Luke Skywalker, Han Solo, Princess Leia. But to me, most importantly, they've changed the in-land audio from the world-making, scene-setting soundtrack that was interspersed with like, pew! They had like spacecraft flying overhead, a lot of mechanical noises. It really kind of set the location to audio bits of the classic Star Wars score. Currently, this is only at Disneyland Park. Currently, I am happy with the changes. There are critiques that are very fair and valid about the Star Wars soundtrack just getting old after a while, which I do hope they eventually blend the two. But when you add Mandalorian and Grogu into one of the rides, and you add the music we know and love, this new-ish version of Star Wars Galaxy's Edge does feel more holistic with everything at the Walt Disney Company right now. The decision to theme the land to the newer trilogy, I think, was misguided. And rumor has it, which I think we've never said this on the podcast before. I think we can say this now. Rumor has it that Bob Iger was the one who made that choice. And I love that they launched with something so thoughtful and so cool and so, I'm going to say it, immersive. But I really, really like that now they are giving people what they want in this land. I like seeing a land that develops over time. That's the ethos of a Disney park. And I really love that they're bringing in different things. And now we get to actually see what it feels like to be in the same location without any actual physical changes and feel differently in the same space. To me, that's like one of the coolest things that you can do with design. And I'm very, very excited about it. And my gripe lives on many years on. If you are not going to have droids rolling around this Star Wars planet en masse, you gotta at least give us Darth Vader. Like, if you're still not filled with droids, this land should have been filled with droids. I'm not gonna rant about it again. I've ranted about it many times. Darth Vader there makes me, you gotta give me something. You gotta give me something. It was like at Disneyland, they were selling Mandalorian, when Mandalorian and Grogu popped off, when Baby Yoda was the culture, they were selling Baby Yoda stuff truly like the one footstep outside the land, like right where the path changed towards Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, like right where it changed near Fantasyland. It was like, Grogu! And it's just weird. Like, it didn't make sense that we were living in a world, we were at a Disney theme park, a place that celebrates Disney characters that we watch at home on Disney Plus, and we go to the movie theaters to watch on screen. I mean, asterisk, not always Star Wars, even though there's a new movie out, there hasn't been a movie in a while, but like, you're so invested in these characters, and then you go to the land and it's like, oh, sorry, you have to be in like the exit hallway if you want to purchase anything. It was very discordant. It didn't make a lot of sense. And I'm really happy too that they're only doing one of these right now. I know people yell about Disneyland privilege a lot, but the fact that we're getting this at Disneyland, we have Disney World, we can see these two parallel worlds and see which one works. And maybe they can tinker them both to eventually blend the soundtracks, maybe blend the characters a bit and just make it feel like everyone's ideal version of Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. So yes, May 22nd, this week at both parks, Smuggler's Run will be shifting, and I'm excited to see what it is. And I'm excited to see if Engineer is now a not as terrible position. Something else that is happening at Disney's Hollywood Studios that I truly had to reach out to Disney World about because I was so confused about the details. But there's this area called the Walt Disney Studios that is opening May 26th, along with a Disney Junior Mickey Mouse Clubhouse live show. And there's a lot of like Art of Disney Animation. There's a lot of different titles here. And I just want to break down for you what it is. Because again, I had to clarify it because I was so confused. And I want to make sure we are all on the same page. So next week, May 26th, the Walt Disney Studios courtyard space, an outdoor space that sounds like a park, outdoor space, I'll take it, and that Disney Junior live show I told you about are going to open. At a future to be announced date, I think the official verbiage is later this summer, is going to be the magic of Disney animation. And this is going to reclaim the space from Star Wars Launch Bay and have a multitude of experiences that I'm almost kind of like, you guys can fit all that in there? Because it sounds like a lot. There's going to be Drawn to Wonderland, which is like a Mary Blair inspired kids play area. And I think it's indoors, which like stars, 5 stars across the board for that. Character meets and Off the Page, a rotating cast of characters. I love that you can meet anyone from like Stitch to a princess. Olaf Draws, which is their version of Animation Academy. And the Once Upon a Time, Once Upon a Studio Theater. And I gotta say, for someone who rags on Disney's Hollywood Studios a lot I'm ragging on this park, there's a whole lot of new going down around these parts. And this area, this little Walt Disney Studios themed area, sounds very cool. If you are confused about what's going on there and this is news to you, same dude. Like, I didn't realize that that's what they were doing in this space. I mean, the Walt Disney Studios exterior, it sounds like it's the exterior courtyard remodel. They're billing it as a relaxed park-like setting designed for families to explore. This is all I've been yelling about forever. And if there's shade, I'm going to have no complaints. I'll take it. Like, it just seems like something we'd really, really want. And while I'm a little sad that I'm not going to see the extension of like where Launch Bay used to be and everything they're putting in there, it sounds really great. And I'm really happy about it. Like, there's a lot of stuff where I'm like, oh, interesting. Can't wait to see it in person. And so I'm very excited to come back next week and to discuss it all with you. We've also got Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, which, I'm sorry, I know I'm a news source, but this is a Gap Sandwich, and I'm going in no spoiler. I want to report on it for you when I return, because there's been a lot of changes, and I really think it's best if I cover them from the vantage point of having seen it. So put a pin in that, but Big Thunder Mountain Railroad is back, and hopefully still great. Also, Bluey's Wild World, opening May 26th at Conservation Station at Disney's Animal Kingdom. That's the place you take the train to. They are billing this as an experience where you can play and dance with Bluey and Bingo, play some of your favorite games from Bluey episodes with a fun animal twist, like Butterfly Keepy Uppy, I guess. But it sounds like you can maybe hug them. Unlike Disneyland, where there is not a meet and greet, and actually the format of that show has kind of changed, and it's not like the dance party it was when I experienced it at the media preview, but it sounds like there's going to be some sort of meet and greet, which is no joke, like straight up, you guys, that's kind of the main reason I'm flying solo cross country with a toddler on a work trip, because listen, if I get any sort of media access to meet Bluey, I'm going to take it, okay? I report objectively on everything, but like, if I can meet Bluey with my kid, I'm going to do it. And if Bluey was meeting in the park, maybe my tune would be changed. But they, as far as I know, don't sell iced coffee out at Conservation Station. So I do not have the patience and the mental capacity to take a train to a destination, be there, wait with no caffeine, and then make it back. This is just how I am right now. I'm just kneeling at the altar of Coffee Bean right now. That's just how I survive. That's how I'm getting through these toddler years. I dream of Joffrey's, you guys. Like, no joke. I don't know if this, like, I don't know if this is something you could bring. Like, I do feel like I maybe need to go to therapy for this. I don't know if I could ever bring this up and be like, when I zone out at workout classes and I am at peace, my empty, calm brain goes straight to Joffrey's. It's so unhinged. But when I'm like doing, you know, like the eighth rep with the tiny weights and the arm stuff, I'm just like dreaming. I'm just like in my mind, I'm just walking towards a Joffrey stand. Like, there's bees there. It's not perfect. It's not idyllic. There's always bees. I don't know. There's always bees there because of the syrups. It would be a very stressful place to work for me. But I like, it's like, oh, I just imagine being like, one chicken Jamaican, please, with a pump of vanilla. Thank you. And I just imagine taking that first sip. Like, that is what motivates me. When my brain is truly at ease, when I'm calm and I'm rested, I'm dreaming of a shaken Jamaican. And so that is why I'm really excited for hopefully her to meet Bluey. I did, on my failed first attempt to go to Dollywood, we did spend some time there and like hung out with the animals and talked to the cast members who work with the animals. It was really fun. Like, it'll be really cool to experience Bluey next to that, you know, that whole area where there's a bunch of animals that you can like meet and interact with. I think that'll be very cool. And it'll be cool to see the difference between that and kind of the Disneyland live show setup. I can't believe I admitted that when I'm in my happy place, like if you watch Scandal, like when Olivia Pope's brain is, when she's on the beach relaxing, like a Corona commercial, I'm just truly at Epcot sweating through my cotton tank top, just sipping on a Joffrey's, happy as I'll ever be. I am a simple woman with simple demands. All right, there are some recent changes that I'm sure I'm going to catch while I'm in town that happened between my February Amusepalooza trip and now, namely updates to the Buzz Lightyear Space... I did not want to say the full name of that ride. I don't know why my body just stopped me. Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin and Frozen Ever After. There are new laser blasters, updated targets. Like, truly sounds like a huge enhancement of Buzz Lightyear, and I'm very looking forward to that because I haven't been on that ride in a minute. And it sounds like they were working for a long time. And I think it was 8 months, if I'm tallying it right. They worked on that for a long time. They seem pretty hyped about it. So I'm stoked. And then Frozen Ever After. There are two things, as you know, that I complain about deeply about that ride. One, the empty black hallway. Nobody should be designing a ride with a black blank hallway. And two, the contouring nightmare of that facial projection. At long last, they have updated that. I mean, if they could just truly just like hang a couple of touch lights in the hallway, I'd be thrilled. I'd have no more complaints. But I actually have not Googled these figures. I am going in fully fresh. I want to see them firsthand. And I'm very excited about it because that every time I went on the ride, I'd be like, why is it like this? Like, this is a franchise. We're going to have, what, four or five films for Frozen? Like, why do their faces look like that? And I'm so glad that, as you know, so many other places around the world get these beautiful, like robust, soup to nuts, brand new Frozen lands, that we're getting a little bit of that magic too over at Disney World. I think that is it. I thought I would have my itinerary by now and I was going to talk to you about it, but I don't know. I haven't even packed yet. I know you're listening to me while I'm there and I'm wearing clothes, so it worked out, but we will find out. But I also want to tell you about the Club 33 tea that I went to at Disneyland. And it is a little, imagine me like pretend brushing my hair back, like, shh, shh. The Club 33 tea experience. But my friend Heather was like, this sounds cool. Let's go opening day. Let's go right away. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to say yes. When you tell me to like show, if you summon me to hang out with all my friends all day at Disneyland and go to a themed meal, I am there. This is obviously my crew that I go to the Rainforest Cafe River Ride in Dollywood. And we go on all of our adventures together. Same group. If you listen to the Casa Bonita episode, all that, same crew. So I was like, yeah, we're gonna do that. And we really had the loveliest time. I will say the food is fancy. And I don't always want a piece of meat at like 1 p.m. in the middle of a California afternoon. It's not always my favorite. But regular Club 33 meal is like fancy food and you sit and it's fancy. But this had the whimsy of like the tea appetizers and like, ooh, the tea desserts and the theming. It was so lovely. I'm not a merch person. As you know, I don't buy a lot of theme park stuff. We're actually going to talk about that a little later in the episode. But I caved. We basically walked in. We saw a hat. Because when you walk into Club 33, basically you walk in the door and there's always people who are staring and they're like, oh, they're in Club 33. And I have full imposter syndrome. I'm not a member. I'm just a guest. So I'm walking in being like, nobody kick me out. Nobody see me. Like, please, I'm on my best behavior. I won't take any videos. Like, I'm just always so panicked. I'm like, ah, no, it's okay. We walk in and there's a glass. When you walk in, you like the member checks in and then there's a glass case with merchandise in it. And we all saw, like my friend Brandon and I, and I don't know if Heather spotted it first. We were like, we're going to need that. And as you know, if I'm shopping and I see something and I go, I need that. Like, that's how I got that spirit jersey at that spirit jersey party, the Sith Lord shirt. I was like, I'm going to need that. It's like a visceral pull. And it was this pink and purple Cheshire cat hat, kind of like those wintry hats that they have at the Tokyo parks. And I was like, I need that. That hat has to come home with me. And we all bought the hats. And now we have like Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, but hats, but everyone has one. It doesn't have to share hats. And I'm just really excited about it. But yeah, the tea was lovely. It was a really nice time. It is, you know, pricey as those things are. But I was like, to spend the whole day, truly all day and all night with my friends was so, that doesn't happen. I'm not at Disneyland at night ever anymore. And so it was just really nice to spend the whole afternoon and the whole evening with my pals. And I just had a great time. This whole episode is going to be the first portion of this, of the Gab Sesh. But the last thing I want to mention is that at the time of recording this, we still don't know Universal's Fast and Furious coaster opening date for Universal Studios Hollywood. And now that I say that out loud, I know we're immediately going to get it. It's just going to like into the ether. It's going to get announced between the time I speak these words into a microphone and this episode gets uploaded on the back end. Just know if it does, I summoned it for us. But it's summertime. Like I'm at Disney's summer event and I'm waiting on Universal Studios to tell me about that coaster. And it's going to really be wild. I really want to dedicate a full episode to how they designed this because there were a lot of external sound factors they had to keep in mind for designing this for the neighboring community. Like, LA doesn't have a coaster, an outdoor coaster like this that is so close within earshot to many, many homes. And so I'm really curious how they were able to design this and build around that and just really make something special. It is, we're all like, listen, like word on the street, all the theme park heads are very excited about this. We're going to have a real thrill ride, like a real outdoor full-fledged coaster so close to so many of our homes. And it's something we have not had before. Like you have the Mummy, but that's not the same. This is different. And it's so exciting. And I just can't wait. All right, we're going to take a quick break and we're going to get back with so many things that I got to talk to you about. Oh my God, this is a real Gabby one. This is a real Gabby one. Okay, I'll be right back. Stick around. Talk in a moment. Welcome back. Early on in my podcasting career, everyone on my quote unquote team, I guess you'd call it, were like, you know, if your episode is creeping past 45, 50 minutes, an hour, you should really be splitting it in half and making two episodes out of it. It'll really help your process. You'll have a lot more free time. It'll be a lot easier on you. And I would always be like, no. I'd be like, no, like I can't pick something up a week later. That's not how my brain works. Like, I mean, I could make it at the same time, but listening, I'd be like, wait, this again? Didn't we listen to this last week? What's the difference? I can't do it. This episode's running long and I'm starting to remember their words and be like, yeah, it is aggressive to post hour and a half long episodes. But I know some of you out there are jogging. Hello to my runners. I know some of you out there are like, you want a little more because you have a long commute. I know some of you out there are my podcast mascot, Jeffrey. Hi, Jeffrey. And I just want to, I want to give you all the most of me every week, maybe to a fault, but we're going to do it. And we don't have that much left, but we're going to do it. Our next, well, no, that's not our next. No, what's our next? Hold on. Oh yeah, things I've done lately that I want to chat with you about. And boy, do we have a few. I saw The Devil Wears Prada 2, and I'm not going to spoil it, but it was excellent. I went with friend, oh my God, this whole podcast is like, everyone I have on my podcast, I guess, is a friend in real life. Isn't that nice? I went with a friend of the podcast, Rebecca Searle, and our other friend, Lauren, and we went to go see it. And Rebecca's like, I'm grabbing tickets because she's way more organized than me. And I was like, oh, I wasn't really planning on seeing Devil Wears Prada in theaters, but like, yeah, like a girl's night out, would love to. So glad she did, because if I waited to see this at home, I would have been sad. It is that good. See it on a big screen. It was truly like, we left shooketh. We could not believe, we left just like standing around being like, that's how you make a movie like this. That's how you make a movie like this. It was excellent. I couldn't believe, like, the plot was perfect. I didn't know what they were going to do. I have so little faith in sequels these days. And I'm really blown away by how good it was. I will 100% watch it again, especially on an airplane. Great airplane movie. It hit all the marks and exceeded multiple. We also, seeing a movie in LA is so fun because we saw it at the Grove and there was a row of people behind us who were definitely like, they were something. I don't know if they were like fashion people. I don't know. I thought maybe they had a friend in the movie, but they were kind of like hooting and hollering. But everything that they said was what we were thinking. There was this one scene, the fashion for the most part, exceptional. There was this one scene where she came out in a dress. And again, my friends and I are sitting there and our brains are going, as the row behind us, the hilarious, like truly, I leaned over to Rebecca during it. And I was like, this is so immersive. I feel like I'm at the Sphere. Like it was so nice to hear what I was feeling. Just to be like, yeah, I feel seen. They completely agree with us. The people behind us were like, no, wrong dress. Like just immediately yelled it. And it was so fun. And then after the movie, we saw them just walking through the Grove and they were so cool, so stylish. I think one of them had like pinkish hair and just like really fashion forward outfits. They were just so cool. Just a group of friends. It was like four or five of them. It was really nice. It was really nice to have like surround sound and just be completely validated in my thoughts about the film. But that said, it did make me a little sad. It made me a little wistful for the alternate path of life that I was kind of supposed to follow. I mean, remember, I'm not supposed to be here. I'm not supposed to be here talking about theme parks. I'm supposed to be in Hearst Tower working underpaid at a magazine trying to like get free lipstick out of the beauty closet. Like that's the path that I worked for a long time. And it's not that I veered this way. Like that path, it dissolved. Like it doesn't exist anymore. I didn't want to end on a sad note, but it was good. It was really good. I also, Andy has like a really good like messenger bag, like a worn-in, like I'm a journalist messenger bag. And ooh, again, you will want to buy everything she's wearing at the end of the movie. It is really good. For book club, I am reading or I'm listening to the audiobook of Lena Dunham's memoir, Famesick. It is so good. It is so good. It's really, really interesting to view the opposite side of the experience that she was having, because so much, she was so perceived by the public, everything that happened during Girls. I'm almost done with it, so I'm just past Girls right now. But that entire time, like I was in New York, I was very online. Like I'm very familiar. I'm intimately familiar with every season of Girls coming out and like what it felt like to be in the city when that was happening, and to hear all of it from her perspective and everything that was happening behind the scenes when she is such an excellent writer was so fantastic. I highly recommend listening to it. She's reading it aloud and her talking about the stuff in her own voice, I think really gives it a gravity that I don't know if reading the actual book would have lent it. I tend to prefer reading to an audiobook. An audiobook I struggle with following, and this just feels like you're at a book signing and she's reading a passage, but it's the entire book. I cannot recommend it enough. It's so interesting. And it really runs in parallel with like the Devil Wears Prada stuff I was talking about. It's like back then there was this like explosion of internet. And like, if you were a young, funky writer, you could basically get anything done. Like I remember I was taking agent meetings in LA off of my Tumblr. Like it was a wild time. And to hear someone who is in the thick of it, in the eye of the storm, talk about it is really interesting. And my main takeaway from all of that, instead of like sitting around being sad that a dear friend of mine got laid off from Glamour, which has really upset me just because she's the hardest working reporter I think I know, and she does not deserve to lose her job. Like, all of it is kind of a bummer, but I'm really just trying to trust the timing, because if all this is happening concurrently with the way the internet is now, and if I'd been on that path, I wouldn't be podcasting. Like, I wouldn't be doing all of this. And it's just really nice. Like, you have to think, like, it's not one or the other. Like, these things happen. They weave in between each other. And so we had that, and now we have this, and this is great, because I cannot imagine a life without Joffrey's and hugs from Goofy, and I'm very happy about it. But to say I'm trusting the timing is also that I was recently invited on a work trip that would have made for an incredible podcast episode, really great trip planning guides, which I like to put together. It would have been excellent, and the timing didn't work out. And I keep trying to tell myself the timing, it's all about timing. It is okay. And I do think that is true. I do think that proves true at the end of the day, that it's all about timing. I was talking to my husband about it. I was like, it stinks that publishing just disappeared. And he's like, you would have been miserable. And I was like, no, I wouldn't. And he's like, yeah, you'd be sitting at a desk. You'd never get promoted. You'd be really annoyed about it. You'd be working very long hours for very little pay. And I was like, oh, he's right. He's right. And I appreciate his perspective often. So yeah, you just got to trust in the timing and that everything works out. And it's going to be okay. I was going to talk about this whole rant about how I'm like not really buying stuff right now, but I don't really want to. I think I'm going to put a pin in it and talk about it next month, because long story short, I got rid of a lot of stuff in my closet, and it has really changed the way I get dressed, because I did finally reach that near utopia where everything you grab is something you like. And while I don't understand proportion and fit, and I'll sometimes have to put on a few different pairs of pants to see if it works with the shirt, like I have to guess and check. I really don't understand balance and size and all that type of stuff. I do get dressed much more easily now, because I don't have, nothing's gumming up the works. You know, there's no like, I go to get pants, I have six pairs of pants. Like there's no pants there that I don't fit in or I don't wear. Like there's just pants. And some of them are not right for, you know, school drop off, but like there's just pants, and I could wear all of them if I wanted to. And it's nice. It's nice to have stuff. I'm not someone who, because I am of the belief that and we're just going to touch on the weight stuff very quickly. Your weight will fluctuate throughout your life. So since I've been 20, I don't get rid of something because it's small or big. That is, I get rid of something if I don't like it, if it's uncomfortable, if I put it on and it just makes me feel blah. Like the emotional response is what I purge based on, not based on size. If it's too small, I put it in a too small box. And if it's too big, I put it in a too big box. I don't get rid of stuff based on size, because your weight will fluctuate, your health will fluctuate. Pregnancy, etc. Amen. Like all of that, you never know. And so I don't get rid of anything I love, but I got rid of things I didn't love. And it was very freeing. It was very freeing. And I don't feel like I'm equipped today to discuss about, we're going to talk about in the future, but I have a lot of thoughts on link culture, on consumerism at the moment. I did buy something on my laptop before we recorded this, but I feel like that was a worthy investment. As you know, I love my little vintage Ralph Lauren button-down shirt that I got for like $7. And I was wearing it today. And it's an extra, extra large. I bought it when we were at an antique mall visiting Dollywood. And it is quite big. It is a little too big. And I was like, would love a smaller one in orange. That's something I don't own. It is used. It is well made. It is cotton. Like there's a lot of reasons on the pro column. The con column is like, I already have the red one and I already have that pink shirt, but I figured I wear them enough. I can buy one more. I can maybe get one more, and it's not wasteful. It's used. It's nice materials. And so I bought an orange. I bought an orange Ralph Lauren button down just now. And I think if it fits, it's going to be really cute. And I know I can't be like up here spouting about consumerism when I'm actively buying things, but I do think, okay, I'm going to touch on it a tiny bit, just a tiny bit. And it's this thing that like, I feel like my brain cracked open a bit when I got rid of a lot of stuff in my closet. I just sat down one day and was like, be so for real. These workout leggings have made you feel uncomfortable for 8 years. Why are they still in the drawer under the stuff you actually wear every week? Just leggings that, like, don't fit right or are too short. Like, I didn't need them. I donated stuff. Like, it's over. And that has helped so much. But I also think buying things with a different eye has also been helpful. I do believe that, like, you don't know if something's gonna be forever in your wardrobe or not. Like, you just kind of have to try it. You have to love it enough to be willing to try it and understand the process. But I did notice that I was really leaning towards buying things that I felt like would fill a void I didn't need. Like, not an emotional one, but in the sense that, like, there was this pink sequined Zara skirt that came up on my feed that someone was wearing. And I was like, oh, I love that. I need that. That's perfect to wear in a night out. That'll be great for dressing up. And it's like, I don't dress up. Like, I don't dress up. I realized mentally when I'm getting dressed to go out at night, I'm not thinking of what do I want to wear. I'm always thinking, what should I wear? What should I wear to drop off? What should I wear to lunch with friends? What should I wear to dinner out? And I'm never thinking like, oh, this is what I want to wear. I will feel good in this. And sometimes that's more casual than dressy. Sometimes that's more dressy than casual. And I've worn dressy outfits to drop off. And I've worn very casual outfits, possibly problematically so, going out to dinner. And I have just felt so much better. I felt so much better when I just wear what I want without thinking about what I should want. And extending that to purchases has really been huge for me. There's a lot of stuff where I'm like, oh, I feel like, oh, I should get that. Like, that would be a great choice. I love it. And it's stuff that I really want to buy. But it's stuff where I'm like putting on a version of me when I could just authentically be me in the jeans I like and in the gigantic Ralph Lauren shirt that I got that I like and just be comfy and happy. And kind of, it's so tricky to discern between the two. They're so similar, but it really has changed things. And we're going to talk about it in the future and we're going to keep going back to it. But and I know I said earlier in the show, I was going to talk about consumerism stuff. We're going to skip that. But I'm trying to like pull that thread figuratively, not literally. I want my clothes to stay nice, but I really want to kind of chip away at that and see what that means. Because I usually would be like, oh, I have to go out to dinner. And like, oh, I have to like pretend to be someone else. And it's like, no, I know everyone else is wearing these cutie little outfits and I don't know where they're getting them. Everyone has all these separates that are so cute. I just want my kingdom for a pair of patterned baggy pants I can wear in an airplane. I can't find them. I will hunt one day. I keep sending myself email reminders and ignoring them. But like wearing just what I feel like wearing in that exact moment is like true harmony and bliss for me. And I'm just going to follow that more. And it's more helpful to do that when I'm not introducing new garments into it. Now we're going to blast through real quick because this isn't going to be a long one. Tireless pursuit of feeling good all the time. I'm not feeling great lately and I want to be open about it. I feel like my meds aren't working. I take Adderall occasionally. I've taken it more lately than before. And I do feel like there is this compression happening in my head where I have to balance so many things now that I have like just the added responsibilities of being a parent. It just feels very overwhelming. And for a while, things were going okay. Things were going really great. And this past week, things have not been going great. And I'm going to explore that more. But I just feel like I feel very off. I feel very unfocused in a way that I don't know why. Little tasks like printing out a shipping label and putting it on a box and making sure that the box is in the car so that I drop the stuff off on the way home on like when I'm driving past the post office, that took hours. It took like hours for me to do basic tasks. And I was feeling really, really, really bad about it until I woke up the other day and was like, oh, I know why I'm overwhelmed, because there's no baseline of me. Like the baseline when you're a parent is someone else's responsibilities. And once they're met, then you can start to think about yourself. And it's like, oh, it's not me. It's just the situation that we're in when you have to full-time care for someone. Like that's all it is. It's the fact that like I will wake up at 7 and I will get ready. I will be ready. Today I was like ready to go at 7:15. And I knew, I was like, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to start work. And I will not be able to start work for over 2 hours. And that's exactly what happened. I had to drive to school. I had to drop off. I had to run errands. Like I wasn't in control of my time. And like, now that I know that, I feel a little less swirly about it, but I am, and I know this is in the past, there's some stuff I really, really need to get done this week and I better get it done. I better get it done because I think it'll really free a burden. Closing those loops can help a lot. And it's really great. But I also this week did find myself in a Whole Foods two hours after preschool drop off being like, how am I here? Like, I was basically, they had a sale. They had a 33% off sale on like body items. And so I was like comparing ingredient lists and lotions that I didn't need and was like, what am I doing here? And then I took my meds and everything was fine. So, you know, that's just what it is. That's just what it is. Okay, we got to go, and I literally have to go. I have a lunch date with my college roommates, which is very exciting. They both usually have crazy, crazy, like 14-hour day jobs, but they both had babies, so they're both available during the day. So if they want to go to lunch, I'm running there. And I literally may be running there because I am running late. Very quickly, I want to do stuff I'm currently obsessed with. And I know that the back half of this episode was a little shorter because we had so much Disney stuff, but we'll cover the rest of it next month. Don't worry. I'm very good at outlines. Stuff I'm currently obsessed with. I am finishing Bones, which was I keep gasping aloud at the episodes. My husband's like, haven't you seen this? And I'm like, there's 12 seasons. I don't remember what happens to Hodgins in season 11. You know what I mean? I am very invested in who Amy Poehler has on her podcast every Tuesday. Like when I remember it's Tuesday, a literal cartoon light bulb goes off in my brain and I'm like, oh, who's my new friend I'm going to hear from this week? That podcast is just so cheerful and joyful and I really enjoy it. As you know, the new Noah album is very good. I recommend the extended version. Staying So, great song. Orbiter, great song. Also really nice to live with someone that you can yell at and be like, why isn't it on the album? But also I'm not in charge of anything. I just listen to it and it's really great. The last thing I want to talk about is Widow's Bay. If you are not watching Widow's Bay on Apple TV, whatever it's called, you gotta be watching Widow's Bay. It is like the haunted mansion of TV shows. I swear. Oh my God, wait. Okay, so what? Wait. So I love it because it's Katie Dippold, who I think is just an incredible writer, so talented. But I forgot Katie Dippold wrote the script for the Haunted Mansion movie. And this is like, this has this like spooky, haunted feel, but it's so good. It's so good. I don't even want to spoil it. It's so good because it reads like a drama. And you know, I'm not watching a drama, okay? I'll watch like Katie Dippold like stamp and lick envelopes for thank you notes. But I'm not usually watching a drama, but the comedy woven throughout this is so, I don't even know what to call it, like quiet comedy. It's just like, it's a barrel of laughs, but it's the type of thing where like they'll cut to something on paper and it'll be like, that's the joke. It's like something that's written down. It's not overtly funny and yet it is freaking hilarious and also scary and also dramatic. Someone called it like Twin Peaksian, which I agree with, but it's so fun. And I love it so much. And this hasn't happened in a while, not really since like Severance. Before that, maybe WandaVision, where I put it in the calendar. Like it's in the calendar that like, this is the night it comes out because I need to see it the moment it comes out. I highly, highly recommend. And I should go and let you go. This was fun. I hope all is well with you guys. I am excited to bring you some Disney World stories and a Muppet interview. I can't wait, and I will talk to you soon. Okay, happy Gab Sesh. Bye. Welcome back, Becky.
I just woke up from my 2-second nap. It's great.
Guys, I let her rest for a few moments and then I was like, we need to resurrect her. There's Disney discounts and we got to talk about it.
If you are a Disney Plus subscriber, they have a little perk for you. It does require a 2-night minimum stay, which isn't a problem.
Which
in
is
Disney
very,
World,
it's
right?
Just very low.
Exactly. Valid most nights, June 21st to August 15th. Prices per night for room only, as low as All-Star Sports in a standard room, $99 a night.
These are prices that I remember, Becky,
yeah,
from when I booked my bachelorette party 11 years ago.
Years ago.
11 years yeah. ago.
Port Orleans Riverside is $169 in a standard room. Art of Animation in a Cars Family Suite, are you sitting down? Mm-hmm. $249. Animal Kingdom Lodge, Savannah View, $369 a night plus.
Do you know how much money I've paid for that view? It is not
a lot more than that.
It is not under $400, I can tell you that.
No, these are restricted just to these resorts and just these views, and they are going to go quickly. So if it's something you really are interested in and you're a Disney Plus subscriber, give us a call, let us know. We'll be happy to see if we can find these for you. But we have not seen these rates this low in years and years and years. On top of that, they still have their Get a Free Dining Plan rolling. So if the room rate was enough to get you there, you can purchase a non-discount minimum four-night, four-day package that includes room and ticket with Park Hopper. And get that free dining plan if you book by April 30th. So that one's going to come up on us pretty quickly if they don't extend it. And it's for most stays June 28th to December 21st. So it goes for the rest of the year. There's some blockout dates in there, obviously, for the holidays. But it does cover a lot of space for you. And if that doesn't appeal to you, they do have the save up to 30% off rooms for late summer and early fall. 30% from July 30th to October 3rd. With the Florida residents saving up to 35% and pass holders saving up to 40%. But wait, there's more. You don't want to go to Disney World. Don't worry. We got you. Alani is there. And they've come up with a new date for their save up to 25% rate for five or more nights and 20% off four consecutive nights. And that's most nights August 9th to October 18th if you book by September 27th. Last but not least, because of course there's always something at Disneyland.
Always.
Our home park. Mm-hmm. Save up to 25% on select Disneyland Resort hotels May 22nd to September 7th. Wow. And it is for the Grand Californian, the Disneyland Hotel, and the Villas at Disneyland Hotel. But that has to be completed by September 8th. So right now, if you want to experience Disney in many of its forms, there's an offer for you.
Incredible. And don't forget, guys, $50 kids tickets at Disneyland this summer. So you can, you literally use your savings on tickets for young children or children, any children, older children, all of them.
All the children.
In your family. And oh, and mine just ran through the house. It's like she knew. It's like she knew that it was possible for us to go to Disneyland. Thank you so much, Becky. These are amazing. And I'm so glad to be able to share them.
Well, thank you for having me as usual. I love sharing these details. And of course, for those who want to look at the cruises and say you're listening to us right now and it's midnight, just go to bookmeicruise.com and you can pull up all the Disney cruises there as well.
Oh, you're the best.
See ya.
Hey, Carly. I had a question about Universal Studios in Orlando. So my partner and I are going in October, and I'm very excited on our big, big thing that we're going to get to do is go to Epic. I cannot wait. I've been to Universal, like, a couple times before. It's been a while since I've been there. Definitely have not been there since Epic. And I don't really know the food scene at Universal. Like, Disney, I know what all the highlights are, what the good snacks are, where to find those things. But Universal, every time that I have gone, I feel just like, what do I eat here? And I always just ended up eating at like Three Broomsticks, which is fine. But I was wondering if you had some hidden gems or some good snacks. I have had the green eggs and ham, and it was delicious. But anything that you think would be kind of an under-the-radar pick, especially at Epic, if you've been able to go to any of the restaurants or done any of the quick service, like, what do you know? What do you like? Let me know. Also, should we go to Halloween Horror Nights? I am a scaredy baby. I'm also neurodivergent and afraid of getting extremely overstimulated and having a small crash out in the middle of Universal Studios. But I'm vaguely interested, especially if they have, like, a good IP house. Like, do I want to go? I don't know. Let me know. I appreciate you, and I love your podcast, and you're great. Thank you. Bye.
Incredible call. We haven't gotten Universal calls in a minute, specifically about food. I don't think I've answered a question about food in years, so I am so delighted to be able to help you on this journey. I will mention at the start, my outlook on theme park food has changed over time as I become a mature young woman and simply cannot digest some of these trendy foods while out in the blistering heat. I do have a somewhat outdated eater map that I will put in the show notes, which is like my professional recommendation of what to eat, but I'm going to break down all of the parks except for Volcano Bay, because I haven't been there in a long time. I'm going to break down all of the parks for you so that you have kind of a hit list of everywhere I think you should go. I am almost always eating at a Harry Potter dining establishment when I'm at Universal Park on either coasts, because I do think that they have the best food options in the park. Granted, J.K. Rowling is a literal trash person, but unfortunately, the IP she created has yielded the best culinary options, generally speaking. You guys know I grapple with the Harry Potter of it all, and I do my best to donate, like, you know this. I offset money, basically, if I talk about Harry Potter, if I spend money in Wizarding World, I try to offset it by donating to causes, because my job is inexplicably tied to them. I am at Universal Parks for work. I will always be at Universal Parks for work, and I really can't just be like, I'm not going in that land, as much as I am tempted to do that. Please keep that in mind whenever I mention them. There is that happening on the back end, but also they are, when it comes to like protein forward, healthy-ish, high quality food, it is, I mean, especially Universal Studios Hollywood, the go-to, but also a really, really great option in Florida. But I'm going to give you the rundown of basically everywhere you should check out in each of the parks and where I usually end up. At Universal Studios Florida, Minion Cafe, shockingly robust menu, extremely pleased with the food that I ate there, and there are more options than you would ever expect from something called Minion Cafe. You would expect a grilled cheese, period. No, dude, they have, look at the menu. I'm not even going to spoil it for you. Look at it, and you might cackle out loud. It is truly a more robust menu than most restaurants. It's amazing. I'm also going to shout out the Today Show Cafe. We laugh at the name, we giggle at the concept, but the truth is they have a lot of really reliable sandwiches and salads, which sometimes I just need normal food. Don't forget, they do have a Shrek pretzel at this park, but I'm pretty sure, TMI, it plugged up my digestive tract for days. But if you can handle it, I recommend the Shreksel. And while J.K. Rowling, again, scum of this earth, I will add that the ice cream at Florian Fortescue's inside Wizarding World is some of my favorite on earth. And every time I spend money in one of her lands, again, I donate to a worthy cause. So I feel like a trans angel gets closer to their surgical GoFundMe goal. I get ice cream. And at the same time, we stick it to J.K. Rowling. To me, that's a win. And that ice cream is so freaking good. The soft serve is good, but you gotta get the hard pack scoops. Ooh, gotta get the scoops. Get as many scoops as you can get. Like, get two scoops, get toppings, like, really blow it out. It's so good. It melts so quickly because of Florida, but ooh, it is good. There are other places to eat at this park and at the other parks I'm gonna mention, but honestly, this is where I go. And if we were going to the park together, this is where I would lead you towards. Over at Islands of Adventure, news recently broke that Mythos is closing, so you gotta get your tush in there before it becomes Yesterland material. You gotta see firsthand what it's about. It's a good restaurant. It's a good restaurant in a theme park, and it's sad that it's going away. I also want to call out Circus McGurkus Cafe Stupendous, not just because I wanted to say that out loud and see if I could, but they have a bunch of funky, fun dishes that are worth peeping. And at Epic Universe, yeah, I really don't need that park. Now I'm like, oh, that's, yeah, that was, I made a little outline of like the restaurants I recommend. Yeah, it's that, and Wizarding World. Yep, that's about it. But over at Epic Universe, the food is generally much better. I actually don't even think you can go wrong here, to be honest. There's that many solid options. But I've really enjoyed more sit-down restaurants while I've been here, which is really reliable for when it's hot out or it rains midday or you're spending the entire day at the park because there's no proper nighttime entertainment. So doing a reservation towards the end of the night doesn't mean you're going to miss anything. It actually is like a nice way to sit and refuel before you head out. I really liked the Blue Dragon. Again, a sit-down waiter service restaurant with a big menu and tons to choose from. I liked some dishes better than others. I'm sure in the Caribe Royale episode, I think that's where I discussed that. There's also a quick service French restaurant in Wizarding World of Harry Potter, which has Café L'Air de la Sirène. Hope I said that correctly. It is very beautiful inside. Yes, J.K. Rowling is the devil, but this is a traditional French bistro design, so she deserves a zero of that praise. I have eaten at the elegant, proper sit-down restaurant Atlantic with a dear friend, my dear friend Jeffrey. You all know who Jeffrey is. He's a low-key podcast mascot. He comes up all the time. The reason I just stumbled on my words is because it's called Atlantic, but in my bones, I feel like it should have a different name. I feel like it should be called like Scales. Like it should just have some weird 80s aquatic name. And I'm like Atlantic, like no, it shouldn't be called Atlantic. It needs a better name. It needs something else, like Oceanic. It needs something more magical. I don't like the name. I don't like the name. Anyway, I went there with Jeffrey, which was lovely. But if I was going back to Epic Universe, I would probably return to Blue Dragon before I'd go back there. Just because the best comp I can give you is like, if I was on a longer trip and I came back for a dinner, like you might do at Epcot, I would go here, but I would not. This is like a, I don't know, I view this place as like a little nicer, a little chicer. I don't know if I would want to roll in here in like a crop top and jean shorts at the end of a day where I've been sweating through my clothes. Like I would want that to be more of a special occasion, but that also might just be what I am viewing the restaurant as, because we had a very, very lovely meal there and I did like dress a little nice for it because it was a special night out. Beyond those, so those are like the restaurants I would eat at. There are a lot of cult favorite spots here among theme park fans. Pizza Moon for pizza. People are obsessed with. I had it there. It was also good. They have these bready cones stuffed with things in Isle of Burke. Again, something I can't eat, would destroy me, but they look delicious. Starshoe Bow, I think that's the name of the, it's the kiosk that's outside. It's like in Celestial Park kind of, but it's, I think it's outside Isle of Burke. That kiosk has basically a hot dog that is inside chewy rice cakes with cheese. Literally my GI tract wishes that I could eat this. If my stomach fixes itself, I am beelining to eat this because I've seen everybody eat it and I love a rice cake. A rice cake and a hot dog and cheese. It sounds so good. Everyone I know universally has said it is amazing. Try that and report back because I can't eat it and I'm really sad about it. Burning Blade has these little bready cheese balls, which rock. I popped so many of those in when I was in that media event that I gave myself a tummy ache because I think I ate like a serving and a half. You're not supposed to eat like 9 cheese balls in one sitting when you're extremely dehydrated, but I did, and I have no regrets. Toadstool Cafe is pretty reliable. My brain views that as an LA establishment. I probably wouldn't eat there because we have it here, but again, Toadstool Cafe, great stuff. Very fun. They have the mushroom soup there. Get that. It's good. Also, I'm recommending soup in Florida. I know that's a mistake. But there's truly so many options at this park. You kind of can't go wrong. Epic Universe is a park to eat at more than the other one. So definitely just keep that in mind. As for Halloween Horror Nights, we're talking scaredy cat to scaredy cat. We're both people who are scared of this stuff. And I'm coming at it as someone who's like, oh Lord, it's Halloween Horror Night season. I'm terrified. I'm coming at it from that angle to tell you that I think you should do it. I think if you're curious enough where you said it out loud, I think the seed has been planted in your mind. And I think if you're a theme park person, you kind of got to see what this is all about. The artistry of it is amazing. And while it is extremely scary at times, I think just knowing what it is worthwhile, especially if you're already going to be there, if that is part of this trip. Now, something that will help is that if your partner, assuming that your partner would go to this event with you, if your partner is someone that you can lean on, like literally physically lean on them, hide behind them, if you're going through a house, like if they can usher you through, if they can like take the scare, take the blow and the brunt of the scare, then I think you're pretty good. But the truth is you won't know if you like Halloween Horror Nights or not until you do it. And so I just think you should do it. My advice to you is to bring the best earplugs you can find, maybe even sunglasses, dude. Like, it's a lot. It's a lot, and it's intense, and it's frightening. But if you are curious, it might be worth seeing it just once. Even if you go in and you know that, like, you'd burn the money if you leave immediately, I think just seeing it and knowing what it is might be worthwhile if you are into theme parks and already going to be at Universal. I hope this helps. Let me know if you're brave. Halloween Horror Nights, again, scary, scary. I think it's scarier in Orlando than it is in Hollywood. But it is something that, you know, it's nice to know what that thing everyone's talking about all the time is. Even if I did spend the entire time in my house is literally crouched and hiding behind different friends who are obsessed with this stuff and let me just be their shadow. I hope that helps. Have so much fun on your trip. I'm so excited for you. That's our show! Thank you all so much for listening to this Gab Sesh episode, and oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm at Disney World right now! I can't wait to tell you everything next week! You can rate, review, and follow us on Apple Podcasts, rate and follow us on Spotify, and you can also give us a call! Whenever, we're meant to, you know, Shakira, at 747 Churros. Just give us a call. I love to get your calls. If you're thinking about planning a trip to any of the destinations we're all obsessed with, check out mousefantravel.com/amusing. MEI Mouse Fan Travel will help you plan your trip. They will save you as much money as possible. They will do all the searching, and they will even go on that cursed DisneyGo.com platform to make sure that you can book your trip easily. They'll do it all for free. And honestly, if you've ever been on the Disney World Hotel website, if you can't okay, I'm going to adjust this one day here and one day here. I'm going to adjust one day here and one day here. If you want to adjust things like, oh, is it part of this promotion? It is such a pain in the butt. You end up having to make a spreadsheet. It is bananas. But if you work with MEI Mouse Fan Travel, They'll just do all that for you and then book it for free. It's truly magic. MouseFanTravel.com/amusing. I work with them. I adore them. And I hope you adore them too. You can follow me at Carly Wiesel across the internet. Join the Foamily at Facebook.com/group/Carly Wiesel. Ooh, I'm reading a new book. I have to add it. I have to add it to our Monday book chat. And you can subscribe to my Instagram, 99 cents a month. I always do a Q&A after I travel. So we will be doing one shortly after this Disney World trip. And there's another Disney World trip ahead a few weeks away. So now is a perfect time to subscribe. 99 cents a month. Would love to have you there. Thanks so much for listening. See you real soon.
Hi, honey. I should sound a little better. I got a new phone yesterday. Nothing is working. No, all my apps aren't even on yet, but I can call people and you can hear me, so hopefully it sounds better. Anyway, listening to you and Todd Martin about Disneyland over Disney World is so funny to me. And my favorite ride is also Small World. I just love everything about it. I especially love when I'm with you and Pearl and she's looking at everything and the ride takes like 10, 15 minutes. It's wonderful. I love it. It's also great to get out of the heat. I love the dancing dolls and I love the music so much. And I love the interaction between you and Todd. It was so good. Anyways, I believe that every time Todd laughs, you got to go back and listen to this. His laugh sounds like your husband's Ben's laugh. And I kept like turning around like, is Ben in the room? I kept like listening. It is so good. He has the exact laugh of your husband, Ben. You have to listen. I'm very excited that I'm going to be seeing you very soon. Very, very excited. This was a great episode. I can't wait to see you and Pearl. I loved it. I love you, Carly. I love you, Pearl. See you soon. And I mean it. Bye.